the NTSB announces new rules on appeals procedures. New Mexico wants to ban seaplanes from state parks. And AMR posts a $238 million net loss. This is Aero News for Thursday, October the 18th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The NTSB has issued a set of new rules addressing the review of aviation enforcement cases. The changes allow appeals to a federal district court, apply federal rules of evidence and civil procedure to NTSB proceedings, and allow parties to move to dismiss a complaint if the FAA fails to disclose its enforcement investigative report. The NTSB, in addition to its accident investigation and safety advocacy work, serves as the Court of Appeals for airmen, mechanics, and mariners when they appeal FAA or U.S. Coast Guard certificate actions. The changes are included in a new final rule and an interim final rule. Although the interim final rule, prompted by the Pilot's Bill of Rights, is effective immediately, the Board is requesting public comment concerning the changes. The 60-day comment period concludes on December the 17th. While the interim final rule is being issued as a result of the enactment of the Pilot's Bill of Rights, the NTSB had been examining its rules of practice and other procedures, beginning with a ANPRM, published in December 2010, and a NPRM, published in February 2012. As a result of that process, the NTSB has also announced it would allow parties to file documents electronically. The state of New Mexico wants to ban all seaplane operations from its state parks. Not a conditional ban, a complete ban. The text of a proposed amendment to the relevant state law says tersely, quote, "The taxiing, landing, or takeoff of seaplanes or floatplanes is prohibited in the state parks system," end quote. The proposal has prompted the Seaplane Pilots Association to issue a call to action to its members. On its online forum, Executive Director Steve McCaughey says that the state is apparently concerned with the introduction of invasive species into New Mexico lakes, as well as public safety. But he says that the state sees tens of thousands of boats coming into the state each year from other regions, and they are not being inspected or decontaminated for invasive species. He also said that data on accidents between boats and seaplanes does not support a public safety concern. The association requests that its members submit written comments to the state prior to the October 31st deadline. A set of talking points can be found on the association's website at www.seaplanes.org. That's www.seaplanes.org. In the midst of bankruptcy proceedings and a spate of flight cancellations due to a variety of issues, AMR Corporation reported Tuesday that it had actually earned more revenue per seat mile flown in the third quarter of 2012. Bloomberg News reports that the airline posted earnings of $110 million, not counting bankruptcy cost. The figure amounts to a net loss, though, of $238 million for the quarter, according to a statement released by the airline. But it also represents a 4.5% gain in revenue per seat mile flown. American CEO Tom Horton sent the news to employees in an email saying, quote, "Our careful review of strategic alternatives continues, but regardless of the outcome, our improvement in both revenues and costs reflects what the new American can be," end quote. The flight delays and maintenance issues that hit the airline last month only amounted to a 0.4% drop in revenue for September. The airline said that effects of the operational issues on the bottom line were negligible. Bloomberg reports that the airline has been able to reduce its labor cost through such means as early retirements taken by more than 2,200 experienced flight attendants. It said it will hire 1,500 new flight attendants over the next year. The labor dispute between American and its pilots union, however, has not yet been resolved. A three-judge panel of France's Tribunal de Grande Instance de Paris recently ruled that the Bell 429 production skid gear does not infringe Eurocopter's French landing skid gear patent. All Bell 429s have been and will continue to be delivered with the current production gear. John L. Garrison, president and CEO of Bell Helicopters, said, quote, "This ruling by the French court, once again validating the design of the Bell 429 production skid gear, is a resounding victory for Bell Helicopter. Integrity is woven into the fiber of our company, and we work tirelessly to ensure our actions are consistent with this core value," end quote. in finding that the Bell 429's skid gear does not infringe the Eurocopter patent, the French court dismissed the claims against Bell Helicopter. The court also ordered Eurocopter to pay the cost of the proceedings and to pay Bell Helicopter and Bell Canada each the sum of $85,200 in costs. For the fourth consecutive year, New Flight Charters has been named to the Inc. 500-5000 list of the fastest-growing private companies in America. The list considers companies' prior 4 years' sales growth. Now, with four Inc. 500-5000 awards, New Flight Charters continues as the fastest-growing private jet company in America since 2005. The company has recorded a 473% increase in revenue since 2005. New Flight Charters is the only U.S. private jet company awarded to the fastest-growing list the past four consecutive years and is listed as one of the Inc. 500-5000 top alumni companies. When Aero News continues, Paris Orly Airport is to get an extreme makeover. Gulfstream Brunswick hangs out the Help Wanted sign. And warbirds are winging their way to South Carolina.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, October the 18th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A major modernization project has been unveiled for the Paris Orly Airport, and by 2018, someone will no doubt be screaming, "Driver, move that bus!" Paris Orly Airport has already been the subject of several development projects in recent years. Now, in order to better respond to passengers and airlines' new expectations, Aéroports de Paris is launching an ambitious six-year renovation program. This project will result in the unification of the two existing terminals, Orly South and Orly West, the construction of a brand-new international departure lounge, and the complete redevelopment of all the terminal entrances. The nature of traffic at Paris Orly Airport has changed considerably in recent years. The number of national flights has fallen, and the percentage of flights outside France has risen from 14% in 2000 to 28% in 2012. This would suggest that passengers are spending more time in the terminals. It has therefore become necessary to provide them with additional passenger concourses so that the airport experience is as pleasant and smooth as possible. Paris Orly Airport currently comprises two terminals and six departure lounges. By 2018, passengers will have a single terminal and three departure lounges at their disposal. Gulfstream Aerospace Corporation says it plans to increase employment at its Brunswick, Georgia facility by approximately 20% in the next year to support growing volume in completions work. The site currently has 174 employees, including nearly 90 technicians. Officials say they expect to add about 35 more employees. Completions work includes the design, selection, and installation of the cabin configuration and layout, furniture, seats, carpets, and sidewall treatments, entertainment and communication systems, and galley and lavatory fixtures. Gulfstream Brunswick is home to a completion center and service center and has approximately 55,000 square feet of hangar space. In 2011, its employees serviced more than 100 aircraft. Gulfstream Brunswick is located at the Brunswick Golden Isles Airport. Meanwhile, AAR, a provider of aircraft maintenance, repair, and overhaul services to commercial airlines, has passed the FAA's certification approval process for a new aircraft maintenance facility in Duluth, Minnesota. The certification process is a key regulatory milestone that paves the way for AAR to commence operations. The addition of the Duluth facility increases AAR's aircraft maintenance capacity by approximately 10%, and will leverage the company's world-class MRO systems and processes to provide customers with an additional geographic location and increased flexibility. AAR currently maintains MRO facilities in Indianapolis, Oklahoma City, Miami, and Hot Springs, Arkansas, which operate as part of the company's nationwide One MRO network. AAR says they expect the 188,000-square-foot facility to be operational with a launch customer by December 2012 and anticipates that it will be running at full capacity within a year. AAR has already begun hiring in Duluth and has immediate openings for additional aviation maintenance technicians. Well, on Friday, October the 26th, the Wings of Freedom tour will land at the Greenville Downtown Airport in South Carolina. They'll depart on Sunday, October the 28th. Now, this is a rare opportunity to visit, explore, and learn more about some unique and rare treasures of our aviation history. The consolidated B-24 Liberator Witchcraft World War II heavy bomber and North American P-51C Mustang Betty Jane are the sole remaining examples of their type flying in the world. The vintage Boeing B-17 Flying Fortress is one of only 11 in flying condition in the United States. The B-17 and B-24 were the backbone of the American effort during World War II from 1942 to 1945 and were famous for their ability to sustain damage and still accomplish the mission. The P-51 Mustang, of course, was affectionately known as the bomber's little friend, saving countless crews from attacking Axis fighters. After the war, many aircraft were scrapped for their raw aluminum to rebuild a nation then in post-war prosperity, and therefore very few were spared. The Wings of Freedom tour travels the nation as a flying tribute to the flight crews who flew them, the ground crews who maintained them, the workers who built them, the soldiers, sailors, and airmen they helped to protect, and the citizens and families that share the freedom they helped preserve. And that includes each and every one of us listening to this AeroCast. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.